Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Prayer and Evangelism, and we're happy to have you this afternoon. How many of you, for the first time, you didn't get the material the last time? We have a handout for you. We can give to you. Anybody needs a copy? Okay. All right. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this marvelous day that you have given to us. We thank you for this camp meeting and for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We pray that as we continue this session this afternoon, that you would illuminate our minds to the great truth about prayer and to understand that prayer is a divine science. May we grasp the principles and apply them to use them so that we can lead thousands of souls to know Jesus. I pray that you would choose these delegates who are here today to become agents of change, to become advocates of prayer in evangelism, and to be able to use it effectively, to have the joy of seeing many souls come to know Jesus. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today we are going to give you the handout. I have a good friend with me. She when I started prayer ministry, she was the lady I met, the first sister Evelyn. Evangeline with Sister Ruthie Jacobson and whatever. They were my early teachers, you know, my early mentors. So good to have you here. Yeah, those who are coming for the first time would like to get a copy. Yeah, it's only English persons you have. Just give.
You have Zulu. Zulu speaking.
Okay, I do speak Spanish.
No, not from English. Not from English.
Español, castellano.
Somebody came in and gave you a recorder?
I have it.
I have the
song. Okay, tomorrow I'm having a session with the pastors. I'm having a session with all of the pastors tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock because you see, when you're doing innovation and you're diffusing new ideas through the church, through the structure of the church, it's important to spend time with the pastors to illuminate their understanding about it, and so that they can support you when you get to your local churches. So make life easier for you, you know. When you say, "Pastor, we want to assist you in organizing praying evangelism," he would not ask, "Well, what is that?" Because he'd understand. So tomorrow, I will give them a clearer understanding. I'll give it to them at the pastoral level, you know, so that it would support your ministry. But what I want to convince you about is, if you really want to live long, and if you really want God to see God bless your children, and you want to see a great revolution in your church and live healthily serving God, is to become an intercessor, to become a supporter of prayer in evangelism. Every time there's an evangelistic campaign, you organize the prayer team. And even when there's no evangelistic campaign, you can, every Sabbath morning, have a prayer team in your church, so that before the pastor preaches, all the visitors in your congregation must come to the prayer room where you pray for them and bless them, and then send them back to listen to the preacher, to the pastor. And I can assure you, you will get many, many decisions out of that. Every quarter, you will have baptism in your local church. So this afternoon, again, I'm going to show you how to do that. We're going to explain that to you, and you would see how it works. I must begin again. I keep beginning and tell you that you have to have a biblical foundation of prayer and evangelism. If you don't have a biblical foundation, then you have a problem. So give me a cup, honey, give me a copy of this. Yes, just one copy. So we're going to work with this. So open, get this in your hand. And this morning, Dr. Telemach worked with you on this. I'm going to just briefly mention it again. But this document gives you the biblical foundation of prayer in evangelism. And the reason why you need a biblical foundation is you're answering the question, why? Why prayer ministry? And the first reason is that prayer assumes that God is all-sufficient, but we are insufficient, okay? Everything that you are in need of, every good thing that you are in need of, God is able to provide it. How many of you believe that? Every good thing, God is able. He may choose not to give it to you, but he has the ability to do it, okay? So that means that God is all-sufficient. God is omnipresent, means that wherever God can reach, your prayer can reach. These are important themes. I repeat them many times, but these are important themes. Wherever God can reach, your prayer can reach. So you can stay here and influence decisions in a committee meeting. You can influence decisions in America. You can influence changes anywhere in the world. Because once God is there, your prayer is able to have access there. That's the foundation. Also, prayer is transcendent and prayer is eminent. I want to emphasize this because this afternoon I'm going to talk to you about some methods of prayer. It's important that you understand that prayer is transcendent. Okay? So, example, if I pray a prayer like this, Father, I praise you for your greatness. I praise you for your majesty. Great and terrible God who dwell in the midst of the cherubims. There is none like you. You dwelleth in light. You are the ruler of this vast universe. And so we praise you today for your greatness, for your power, for your majesty. That's you're praising God. The theology undergirding that prayer, the theology undergirding that is the transcendency of God. God is transcendent, far removed from us, so we are praising him. Okay? Now watch the contrast. Prayer also says that God is immanent, which means he's near to us, close to us. So if I'm going to pray for somebody who is sick, I cannot pray a prayer like a prayer of praise. I have to pray a different prayer, a prayer that is eminent. I pray a prayer like this. Father, today I pray that you would stand beside Mary. Placed your hands upon her. Help her, bring her into your bosom, dear Lord, and help her to sense your presence. Place your hands upon her, Lord, and allow your healing power to flow through her body. Touch every cell, touch every tissue, and bring healing and strength. Allow life to spring forth through her body. Amen. That's a different prayer. That's a prayer that of eminence. God is close to you. So if you're praying for somebody who is bereaved, somebody who have lost their loved ones, you pray not a prayer of transcendency, but a prayer of eminence. You see the contrast?
Yes.
When your theology influences the method of prayer that you use. So if I'm praying on Sabbath morning at the Sabbath school, it would be a prayer of praise. If I'm praying for a sick person, a prayer of eminence. So that's important to understand the theology undergirding the ministry of intercessory prayer. So that's the biblical foundation. Now the principles now is in this book, page 4. You see the principles. There are 5-6 principles in this book. These are the laws that govern intercessory prayer in evangelism. 6 principles. You must know those principles. Live by those principles. My whole life, my wife's life, evangelist life, and all of you, these are the principles. These are the principles we live by in intercessory prayer. You see the 6 principles? Can you read them? Let's read them together, everybody. Page 4. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, go on. Mm-hmm. Read that with a little more energy. Number 5. Intercessory prayer increases visitors' receptivity to the gospel at evangelistic meetings. That's a very important principle there. So these are principles. A principle is a general rule that governs a particular operation. And Jesus said, if you pray in private, he will reward you openly. That's a law that Jesus followed when he prayed. Before Jesus engaged in the casting out of demons and healing the sick during the day, he would spend time in the mountain privately talking to his Father early in the morning. When he got down into the community during the day, he'd be a tremendous power. If you want to change the life of your children, spend time with God in private and you see God change them in the public. If you want to see people come into Christ in baptism in your local church, there must be a powerful intercessory prayer team somewhere in the church where the members are praying, intercessors are interceding in private. And as you intercede in private, God gives you victory in the public. It's universal. If you have at work somebody who's constantly giving you trouble at work and you want to change them, you want to get them removed from that particular job or particular place, you spend time with God in private, and a few days time you will see God, how God moved them miraculously from the particular environment. It is a law. It is a principle that governs prayer. Prayer is not just bare words. Prayer is governed by universal principles, by divine principles, biblical principles, and you must follow those principles. Example, you're going to pray for somebody who is sick. There must first be spiritual healing before there can be physical healing. These are universal laws that you follow in the ministry of intercessory prayer. Ella, you had a question? Okay, lovely. Yes, so the Spirit of God is upon me. I'm anticipating things. Yes. So these are important laws that you follow in prayer. So as intercessors, you have to you operate at a different level because you understand the theology and you understand the principle that governs the ministry of intercessory prayer. Now, all the prayers of the Bible, the major prayers of the Bible, have these. These are the great themes of the prayer. Jehoshaphat's prayer, Nehemiah's prayer, all the prayer of the Bible are divided into three different sections. You have the prayer challenge, that's the problem, the prayer power, and then you also have the divine intervention. Take any prayer of the Bible, you'll see these three themes coming through. There's always the problem, then there is the prayer, then there is the divine intervention. Okay, Hezekiah, there was the problem. Then there was the intercessory prayer. Then there was the divine intervention. Jehoshaphat, there was the problem. Then there was the prayer. And then the divine intervention. So this is the sequence you need to follow. And in our own lives, think about your own life. Right now, there is a problem that you may have in your mind. There's a problem. What do you do with that problem? You confront the problem with intercessory prayer and you wait for divine intervention. Prayer always operates in the context of a cause. There must be a cause. The greater the cause, the more effective prayer is. There has never been a prayer in the Bible if there is not a cause. There have to be a cause. There must be a human need, a human problem that is beyond the person, and he goes to God for divine intervention. So keep this in mind. Confront all of your problems, all of your difficulties with divine intervention. Another important thing that you need to know about intercessory prayer is how it works. Now, let me explain to you how prayer works. Whenever you pray, when I pray, whenever anybody prays, this is how it works. If I pray here now at this moment, the prayer will leave my mouth, leave my lips, and it ascends into heaven. It passes the moon, it passes the sun, it goes way up into the earth, into the atmosphere, and it lands right before the throne of God. Now watch this picture. Before the throne of God, you have Jesus at the throne of God, the Father sitting upon the throne, Jesus next to the Father, and surrounding the throne you have 24 elders. Okay, you can find that in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. So the 24 elders. And so when the prayer comes from earth, from here, from Alberta here, it comes from earth, it goes before the throne of God, and then the prayer goes into those golden bowls. The elders have some little golden bowls. Okay, each elder has a golden bowl, and the prayer goes inside of the golden bowls. You see it in Revelation 5:9. And then the elders take the prayer that has the prayer and gives it to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit interprets the prayer in the language of heaven. After he interprets the prayer, he gives the prayer, the Holy Spirit gives the prayer to Jesus. Now Jesus, who is our Savior, who died for us, Jesus sanctifies the prayer, he gives the prayer his approval, and then he mediates the prayer to the Father. That's why you pray in the name of Jesus. Why do you pray in the name of Jesus? You pray in the name of Jesus, which means that the prayer comes from the Holy Spirit, it goes to Jesus, and then Jesus takes the prayer to the Father. Our prayer cannot go straight from us straight to the Father. It must go through Jesus. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus mediates the prayer to the Father, and the Father chooses to answer the prayer according to his will, and the answer comes back to earth. That's the flow of the prayer. When the prayer leaves the earth, it goes up into heaven before the throne of God. From the throne, it goes into the golden bowls. From the golden bowls, it goes to the Holy Spirit, who interprets it. When the Holy Spirit interprets it, he gives it to Jesus, and Jesus passes it on to the Father. So here is the important point. To answer one prayer that comes from earth requires the work of the Holy Spirit. It requires the work of Jesus, who is the mediator, and it requires the work of God the Father. You see how powerful it is? There is nothing else apart from salvation that requires the Trinity involvement in the answer of a particular request. So the most powerful thing, intercessors, the most powerful asset that the church has is the asset of intercessory prayer. But surprisingly, the church sometimes does not realize the power that she has. And instead of using that supernatural power of intercessory prayer, she resorts to money, she resorts to programming, she resorts to strategy, she resorts to technology and all kinds of things to find power to reach people. No, the issue at stake is not just the human mind. The issue at stake is sin. Sin is a supernatural element, and so you need supernatural power. So as intercessors, as this new cadre of intercessors, you need to take your church back to intercessory prayer. Move the church from dependence upon man to dependence upon God. Move the church from dependence upon methods to dependence upon the power of intercessory prayer. And so when you pray, when intercessors like you pray, we can move the hands of God based upon our faith in him. Amen. So this is very important to understand. You must understand when you pray what happens to the prayer, so that you pray intelligently. You can actually see your prayer, the movement of the prayer, and you can see the whole working of the prayer in heaven. And that gives you confidence in your prayer. You can pray with spiritual authority because you understand what is happening to the prayer. Very, very important to understand that particular dynamics. Okay, so that this is the sequence. Before I go further, I want to explain this to you. The work of intercessory prayer is about creating change. Change in the minds of people. Because you are dealing with the problem of sin. So when do you look at it, what do you see here? What can you see here? Metamorphosis. What does this picture convey to you? What message does this picture convey to you? Total change. It conveys change. It conveys the idea of transformation. Okay, and that's what prayer is about. Prayer is not about asking God for requests and making requests to God. It's about creating changes in the lives of people. It's about changing people from the inside out. Now, to engage in change, look at this. This is important. The problem here is the human mind. The human mind is natural, it is carnal, it is controlled by sin. All right, it is infested by sin. Sin is supernatural. Now, no amount of money can eradicate sin from the mind. No amount of methodology can eradicate sin from the mind. No amount of money can eradicate sin from the mind. No amount of song service can eradicate sin from the mind. Sin is a supernatural element, and we are born with it. Okay? So we are born with it. It is sin in the flesh. Can be removed by soap and water. It cannot be eradicated. So since, look at this, since sin is supernatural, follow me now, since sin is supernatural, what do you need to deal with sin? Since sin is supernatural, what do you need to deal with sin? Yeah, to respond to sin, you must respond to sin with supernatural. Sin has to be dealt with supernatural element, supernatural power. So if we try to deal with sin with money, if we try to deal with sin with programming and technology, we will never succeed, and the church will continue to just dwindle like this. The church must resort back to her power base. The most powerful organization on earth, the most powerful body on earth is the church. Amen? The most influential people in a local church are the intercessors. In an evangelistic meeting, the most important aspect of an evangelistic meeting is the prayer team. That's the power, where the power lies, because you are dealing with the whole concept of sin in the minds of people, and so the church must resort. So look at the combination. Look at the combination of dealing with sin in the mind, and this goes for everything. I use this all the time. I'm not just speaking here out of speaking about a theory. I'm telling you how I live, what I practice, what I do every day. In my workplace, anywhere I am, you're dealing with sin in the mind. So the first thing that you must when there's sin in the mind, the first thing you confront it with is with the Word of God. You confront the issue, a problem in the mind of a person, with the Word of God. The moment you confront the mind with the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit comes to support the presence of the Word. Are you with me? If I read the scripture to somebody, the moment I read the scripture to the person, the scripture goes into the minds of the person, then the Holy Spirit comes upon the word there to begin to enlighten, to illuminate, to explain the word to the person. And with that, you support it with prayer, and comes the transformation. So this is the triple combination of intercessory prayer. How it works. Let me illustrate it. I like to illustrate things, and you never see that illustration before. I'm going to do this illustration for the first time for you to see. So okay, Ella, you come. Look at this. I'm going to show you how powerful the Word of God is. Look at this illustration, okay? Imagine he comes to your church or Sabbath school. He's a member, okay? We're working with him now as a member. He comes to Sabbath school, but he comes to Sabbath school and look at him. He's sleepy, you know. And last night he fought with his wife. And yesterday he had a big problem with his boss at work. He's frustrated, you know. And so forth. And the next thing is too that he had an accident. He just destroyed his car. So he's really confused, fought with his wife and what have you. So real problems. So he comes to Sabbath school and he's sleepy. The mind is confused. He's feeling guilty because he fought with his wife. He gave her a punch right here. Her eyes is as big, so she couldn't come to Sabbath school. And he's ashamed of that. Everybody asking him about his wife. He's afraid to say what he did to his wife. So there's problem, you know. Okay, so he comes to Sabbath school. So what do I do with him? The problem is sin in the mind. Okay, the sin controls the flesh. Sin in the flesh. All right, what do I do with him? The first thing I do with him is to give him a dose of the Word of God. So I open the Bible in Sabbath school when I'm teaching the lesson. I open the Bible and he reads, and I guide him to read the Bible. So he goes into the Bible and he reads, okay? As he reads, watch what happens. The Holy Spirit comes immediately over him like this. Okay, that's what happened. Because the moment you open the Bible anywhere, the Holy Spirit appears. It's a law. The Holy Spirit's work, primary work of the Holy Spirit, is to interpret the Bible to sinners. Are you with me? And to bring conviction and to enlighten, to illuminate. So when I open the Bible like this, and his head is in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is over him like that and said, okay, remember, stop beating your wife. Love your wife. Okay? Don't fight at work. Arrive at work on time. Stop stealing. You know, the Holy Spirit is what? Convicting, because the Word of God is open before him. And so as the Holy Spirit begins to convict him, he begins to look different. But I that's not enough. I need additional power for the transformation. Additional power. So I need additional power. Sister, you come. Yes. No, sister. Yeah, yes, come, please. Yes, please. This one, yes. So additional power. Stand beside it. Look at this now. I'm working on transformation of the mind, dealing with sin. So I want you to clasp your hands and put your hands like this. Put your hand here. No, like this.
Like this.
Right. Look. Lovely. Okay. I put your hand. Okay. Like this. Right. And then watch the word. You see? The Word of God. the Holy Spirit over him, supported by intercessory. You see the amount of power? I am dealing with the problem of sin in the mind. That's supernatural. So I'm confronting sin in the mind with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit bringing the conviction, supported by intercessory prayer, and there is tremendous transformation. He comes to Sabbath school and he begins to think differently. And as he engages in the Word, he begins to say, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone abroad. Hallelujah, thine the glory. See? You see the difference? Because what happens is that the Holy Spirit begins to quicken the mind. The Word of God begins to quicken the mind. And with the power of the intercessory prayer, the mind becomes alive and sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing the process of transformation? Mm. So this is what you need to do in the church. Sometimes the Sabbath school teacher stands up to teach and never opens the Bible. That's a sin. You cannot stand up to teach a lesson without opening the Bible. The Bible is the transformational book. Open the Bible. Guide the people into the Word. Because as you guide them into the Word, here, what's the principle? As you guide them into the Word, the Holy Spirit comes to create the transformation in the mind and to bring sin under control. Thank you very much. Clear? Okay, look at this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. I want you to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Everybody, find Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. It's important to understand this. This is important for evangelism. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. It says, what it says, read it for me. Somebody found it? Read it. Galatians 5, 16 and 17.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So you can see the conflict here. There is the flesh, there is the Spirit. And so there's a conflict. Look, this is the mind, this is the mind, this is the Spirit, this is the flesh. So the flesh is pulling the mind this way, the Spirit is pulling the mind this way, and there is that constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit for the human mind. So what do you do with the flesh? Attention now, what do you do with the flesh? Here's what you do with the flesh. Each day, you submit the flesh. So this is the Holy Spirit, my hand is the flesh. Each day you bring the flesh under the control of the Holy Spirit, and you yield the flesh, and then the Holy Spirit holds the flesh like this and keeps it under control. Because look at my hand. When sin is in the flesh, look, see sin in the flesh, look at my hand, you see, it's jumping up and it's angry, it's dishonest, it's all kinds of things, problems, manifestation, sin in the flesh, adultery, or hatred, malice, greed, all this is the manifestation of sin in the flesh. The flesh cannot control sin, but sin can control the flesh. Are you with me?
Yes.
Very important. And so what do you do with when you have sin in the flesh? You take sin in the flesh and you bring it under the control of the Holy Spirit. And you say, I now yield my flesh to the control of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when you yield it, the Holy Spirit keeps it there. And now you are free to walk in obedience to God. The sin is still there, but it's under the control of the Holy Spirit. So that's what it is. That's why you have personal devotion every morning. Why do you have personal devotion every morning? You have personal devotion every morning to yield the flesh to the control of the Holy Spirit. You have personal devotion every morning and you read your Bible. Listen, when you read the Bible, listen to what happens. When you read the Bible, it's actually like you are treating the flesh. You are bringing the flesh under the control of the Holy Spirit so you can live victoriously. That's why Paul says, do not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. This is an important principle of victorious living. What happened here? Oh, okay. So that's the concept here. It's very important to see this, how to live victory. This is what I practice all my time to bring my body every day. I just yield to the control of the Holy and allow myself to walk uprightly with Christ. Okay. No, these points here, let's read them together. Everybody, you see these points? Let's read them together. Everybody reading? Go on. Oh. Go on. Prayer challenges the intercessors to seek for help outside of him, outside of them. Prayer allow God to what? From inside out. Okay, I want to give you a method today of prayer. It's called ACTS. A-C-S. A-C-T-S. Okay, A-C-T-S. And another one is called PART, P-A-R-T. Two methods of prayer. I'll just give you these two important methods before I do a demonstration to show you how it works in evangelism. But we're going to practice the ACTS one first. Just the ACTS. A is for adoration. C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. And S is for supplication. So take note of this distinction. Take note of this distinction. There is a difference between praising God and thanking God. You praise God for who He is. You thank Him for what He has done. So let's practice this method to show you how it works. We are going to pray together. We're going to pray together. And after each section, we will sing. I will guide you into it. So example, I'm going to begin and I want you to repeat. I will say, Father, I praise you for your greatness. You will say, Father, I praise you for your holiness. The next person say, Father, I praise you for your majesty. You remember you're praising God for who He is. Don't use the word thank because we're not there yet. We are just simply praising God for who He is. I'm just demonstrating to you how we use the method. So let's begin. Father, I praise you for your greatness. Next. Amen. Next. Amen. Continue. Amen. Amen. Praise Him, Jesus, oh bless. Sing all, wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him. Strength and honor. Brilliant. Like a shepherd. Jesus. And now, Father, we come to confess our sins before you. We confess our sins before God silently. Let's confess our sins before God silently. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from me. And sinners plunge and say, a little more energy, everybody singing. Brilliant. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. The second stanza, the dying thief rejoiced to see. That fountain. And there may I, though vile as he.
And there may I, though vile as he.
wash all my sins. Emphasize the word wash.
Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away.
And there may I, though vile is he. Wash all.
Wash all my sins away.
And now, Father, we come to give you thanks. We thank you for a beautiful day. Continue, give God thanks for whatever you want. Who will be the next? Amen. Continue. Amen. Continue. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, God, for hearing
your prayer. Now thank we all, O God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom this world rejoices, whose from a mother's arms have blessed us on our way with boundless gifts of love, and still is ours today. And now, Father, we come to present our specific needs to you. We pray today for those who are sick, that you would touch them and bring healing to their bodies. Who would be the next to present your supplication to God? Amen.
Pray for the Holy Spirit to descend upon us.
Amen.
Pray for the keeping care of my family.
Amen.
For those who are seeking jobs, Lord.
Amen.
I pray for the Lord.
Amen.
I pray for our young people, Lord. Fill them with your spirit.
Amen. Amen. Continue.
Pray for the bereaved.
Amen.
Pray for healing and the right spirit.
Amen. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Everybody singing in my heart.
In my heart.
Uh-huh. Lord, I want
to be a Christian in my heart.
Lord, I want to be more holy. Put your right hand on your heart and sing. Lord, I want to be more holy.
Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart.
Tenor, soprano, alto, baritone. Ladies only, let me hear you in my heart, ladies.
In my heart.
Brilliant. Uh-huh.
In my heart.
Men, join the ladies. Excellent. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Hold the hands of the person next to you and sing, Lord, I want to be more loving.
Lord, I want to be more loving.
A little more energy.
In my heart.
Everybody singing.
In my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart.
Tenor, soprano, baritone, alto, let's sing. Brilliant.
In my heart, Lord, I want to be more loving in my
No, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Put both hands to the heavens. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart and sing. Like Jesus
in my heart,
everybody singing.
Lord, I want to
be like Jesus in my
heart.
Mm-hmm. Sing it with all the life you have.
In my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, so that's the method of prayer, the Acts method. Beautiful for Wednesday night service. Beautiful if you have a prayer retreat, for your prayer room when you have evangelism. Wonderful, wonderful, simple method of guiding the church. You see what happens? The heart is open, turned towards God, and God begins the transformation. Do you like it?
Amen.
So it's a beautiful method of intercessory prayer. Yes?
I just wanted to share a quick testimony of what happened yesterday.
Yes.
When I left here in the morning, I...
Can you come front? Yes. She wants to share a testimony from the prayer room.
Okay. Yesterday when I left here, after you had explained the way of prayer, I met a lady right outside. She was telling me that she had a terrible pain in her back, and she was worried that she wouldn't be able to listen to the programs and receive a blessing. So I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for her for healing. So I followed the way that he taught yesterday, the pastor. And we prayed. I didn't have the Bible at the moment with me, so I recited from memory first a Bible verse. And then I asked her, do you believe in this, what the Word of God says? And she says, yes, I do. So we prayed and we asked for healing. This morning I saw her. She came to the Adventist Royal Aviation booth where I was. And she had no cane. Yesterday she had two on each hand. And I was praising God. I was just overwhelmed with, what God is doing. So
amen, amen, amen. So this is very powerful, my friends. And so I'm about to show you now what to do in the prayer room. Listen to this. The prayer room, the purpose of the prayer room in evangelism is to increase the receptivity of members, of visitors. So put your hand like this. Put your hand like this, everybody. Okay. When they come to the prayer room, they come like this. This is low receptivity. Their minds are infested with sin, controlled by sin. They come with burdens and problems. So this is low receptivity. But this is high receptivity. So say with me, low receptivity, high receptivity. Again, low receptivity, high receptivity. The purpose of the prayer room is to move them from low receptivity to high receptivity so that you prepare them for the gospel. I'm going to demonstrate this to you. Thank you. So that if 100 persons listen to this, I am not guessing. I have testimonies tomorrow when I'm lecturing to the pastors, persons who know it's true, we're going to testify. If 100 persons come to your prayer room in an evangelistic meeting, 100 visitors come to the meetings and they come, you bring them to the prayer room before the evangelist preaches. If 100 persons come, you're likely to baptize 80 of them. I'm not guessing, I'm telling you. You're likely to baptize 80 of them. Why? Because in the prayer room, you move them from low receptivity to high receptivity. And I'm going to demonstrate this to you how it works. So let's get somebody and we're going to practice it. Hey, Mana, Benka. Yeah. 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 So I'm going to demonstrate with her. She comes to the prayer room. So sister Evangeline, I want you to take and bring her out there. So she come into the prayer room. So you go with Sister Evangeline and she'll bring you in. Okay? Yeah. Go with her. Yeah. Take her to the outside. Yeah, just to the outside. Yeah. Go with her. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So imagine for the moment, over this tent over there is the evangelistic tent. Okay? This is where the preacher is preaching. All right. And this is the prayer tent. So before they can go into there to listen to the preacher, the ushers would invite them to come to the prayer room to be prayed for. So here is an usher bringing her into the prayer room. So she comes to the prayer room. All right, she's a visitor and she comes to the prayer room. And these, we are the intercessors. Okay, thank you very much. So you can go back to your seat. No, women. Yeah, I'm talking to Eva. So she comes to the prayer room. So I ask her, look at this. She comes to the prayer room and these are all the intercessors. They're all dressed in white and you're the holy people. So she's a little nervous. So I must relax her first before I pray for her. So I say to her, good evening, friend.
Good evening.
Welcome to the prayer room. These are the intercessors who have been praying for people night after night and God has been answering their prayers. Right. Then I ask her this important question. Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? What's the question? Repeat it. What's the question? Let me hear you. Everybody, let me hear the question. Okay, it's like this. Friend, pause. Okay? Don't add friend and you go on. Friend and you pause. Look at it straight in the eye. What would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? So let me hear you practice that.
Friend.
Brilliant, excellent. Now when you come to the word Jesus, I want to see all of you smiling on the word Jesus. Okay, let's go together. Friend,
what would you like
Jesus to do for you tonight? And watch my head. Friend, not friend. Friend, okay? Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? See, so you get the positive affirmation. So I practice the question again. Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
I am cleaning my body.
Okay, she would like Jesus to give her a clean heart. She would like Jesus to make her a clean vessel. She wants purity. She wants forgiveness for sin. That's the outcome. I never ask her, what is your problem? Do you have cancer? That's not my business. I simply ask, what would you like? Okay, now when she says she wants Jesus to clean her body, she wants a clean life, I am going to confront that desire for forgiveness and for purity, for a clean life with the word of God. So the first thing I'm going to enter into the mind to confront sin in the mind is the word. So I go to Psalm 51 and I read for her. It says, Psalm 51 and verse 1, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew within me a right spirit. You see what I'm doing? I am confronting her directly with the word, because I'm dealing with the problem of sin in the mind. So I confront her first with the word of God. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew within me a right spirit. Friend, do you believe that Jesus has the ability to give you a new heart? She says yes. You see? She says yes. Now, when she says yes, I'm going to pray for her. And the prayer would have three sections. One, I'm going to ask God to forgive her for her sins. I'm going to ask God to strengthen her faith. And I'm going to ask God to give her a clean heart. So let's pray. We're going to pray. Sister Evangeline and others, three of you come. Yeah. Yeah. Friends, come put your hands upon her. Yeah. Not you, mother. Yes. The others, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so she put her hands upon her. So the intercessors will place their hands upon her, all right? I'm going to pray. Okay, mother, lovely. I'm going to pray. Listen to the sequence of the prayer. Father, we thank you for a friend who have come. We pray that you would forgive her for all of her sins. Cleanse her, dear Lord, and make her a clean vessel in your hands. We pray that you would strengthen her faith in your word that says you will create in her a clean heart and renew within her the right spirit. So tonight, Lord, we pray that you would reach deep into the inner recesses of her heart and forgive her for all of her sins. Cleanse her, dear Lord. Make her a clean, holy vessel in your hands, that you would leave this place tonight knowing that God has forgiven her for all of her sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so that's the prayer. Okay, so first I give her the Bible. See? Then I give her the prayer. And now the Holy Spirit is working on her mind. You see? Now, I'm going to ask her to give her a prayer of thanksgiving. So she does not speak English so well, so she speaks only Spanish. So I'm going to ask her to repeat after me in Spanish, okay? That's for her. So you repeat after me in Spanish. Padre nuestro.
Padre nuestro.
Padre nuestro,
que está en el cielo,
que está en el cielo,
santificado sea tu nombre,
santificado sea tu nombre.
Por favor, Señor,
por favor, Señor,
límpiame,
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 en el nombre de Jesús,
en el nombre de Jesús.
Amén.
Amén.
Right. So you allow her to pray in Spanish. Now, if you cannot speak the language, and she can only speak in, she does not understand your language, you just pray and heaven would understand. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, so we see, now that we have prayed for her, take her to the evangelistic meeting. Let her sit up front. Up front here, right here. She's going to sit up front in the evangelistic meeting. Okay, imagine that this is the evangelistic tent over here, all right? So she sits there. All right, lovely. Thank you. Okay, so she sits there. Watch while she sits there now. Remember, she comes to the prayer room like this. No, she's sitting here like this. Are you with me?
Yeah.
High receptivity. The word of God is in her mind. The prayer is of anointing is upon her. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over her like this. And here's the song service. She comes in at the time when the song service. There's a great change since I was born. It's a great change since I was born. It's a great change since I was born. It's a great change since I was born. Okay, so that's the song service. Now the pastor stands up now and he's getting ready to preach. I'm showing you the power of prayer in evangelism. Yes, good question, Mother. She sits up front, but many visitors will be sitting up front because as they come from the prayer room, you take them up front. However, the question is, should somebody sit with her? Yes, if somebody can sit with her and share the Bible with her. Yes, good point. So in this case, she's sitting alone, but normally in the evangelistic meeting, there will be other people sitting with her. But for tonight, a good friend would sit with her. So my friend, come and sit with her to follow what Mother just said to us. Good point. Great point. You're thinking. So you sit with her. All right. All right. And now the pastor is preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible declares, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. How many wants to be ready when Jesus comes? Would you raise your hands? God bless you. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming back for you. Mother, father, young man, he's coming back for you. All those who have given their lives to Jesus, even though they die, when Jesus comes, they will be resurrected first. How many would like to say, Jesus, if I should die tonight, if I should die next year, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Raise your hands. Amen. All those who have raised your hands, please stand. Now, watch this clearly. I'm showing you, demonstrating to you prayer and evangelism. Tonight, I want to announce next week there's going to be a big baptism. Mucho la gente por baptizo aproxime semana. And all those who love Jesus and want to be baptized with him next week, you want to say, Jesus, I love you and I want to give my life to you in baptism, I want you to come to the altar. I will tell you when to come. I want you to come to indicate to Jesus your decision to be baptized one of these days. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once
was lost,
but now I'm found.
I
was blind, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, all those who want to be baptized, I want to be saved when Jesus come, I invite you to come. If you want to give your life to Jesus and you want to be baptized, come, my friends, come. Benka, yes, my friends, come now. God bless you. Who will be the next to come? God bless you. I'm waiting. Come now. God bless you, my friend. I'm waiting for two more persons to come. God bless you. God bless you. Keep on singing. Amazing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. One more for Jesus. Who'll be the last to come? God bless you, mother. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. But now I'm found. Was blind. Now stop. Stop. Thank you. What did you observe? Tell me what you observe. What did you observe when I made the call?
The one who was prayed for stood up.
The one who I prayed for not only stood up, but what happened? Came first. And what's another powerful thing, mother, you great wisdom. What's another powerful thing? The member who was sitting close to her moved. And she moved. You see what I'm saying? Here's the point I am making. The point I am making is this, that all the visitors who come to your prayer room, who you pray for, when the call is made for baptism, they will respond. Why? Why? Because, okay, please be seated. You can go back to your seat. Thank you. This is the principle. This is the principle. Don't you forget it. The principle is this, that the purpose of the prayer room, the purpose of the prayer room is to increase the receptivity of the visitors to the gospel. Are you with me? So that she comes to the prayer room here, she comes like this. But when we pray for her, she comes like this. See? I like to illustrate, I like to make things practical. So somebody give me a pen.
Here. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And come. Yes. Yes. I like the illustration. So, she comes to the prayer room. Put your hand like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So, this is sin. Okay. Sin. Okay. You cannot see it now. It's blocked. So, she comes to the prayer room like this. And the sin is in the mind. So, you cannot see it. So, what is the purpose of the prayer room? What is the purpose of the prayer room? The purpose of the prayer room is to pray. Okay. Pray first. No, the Bible first. Prayer. And the Holy Spirit. You see? And it's open now. Ah, you can see sin is exposed. You see? Sin is exposed. And with this exposure, this high receptivity, sin being exposed. Keep it there. Sin is being exposed. The pastor now comes with the word. With the word. You see? He comes with the word. When the pastor begins to preach, and the pastor begins to cut at sin. You remember the Bible is like a two-edged sword. Cutting asunder. So the Bible, the pastor begins to cut at sin, begins to cut at sin, begins to cut at sin, begins to cut at sin. You see? And then he plants the word. See it?
Amen.
And he makes the call. When he makes the call, she comes. So the purpose of the prayer room, the reason you take them to the prayer room is to move them from this and to increase the receptivity. So they come to the evangelistic meeting with their minds open and sin exposed to the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Sin exposed to the word of God. And so high receptivity, so the word of God is able to penetrate the inner recesses and cut at the heart, and transformation takes place. Amen?
Amen.
That is the church moving to the place of the supernatural, back to the place of prayer, back to the place of the word of God, back to the place of the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, money cannot do that.
Yeah.
Programming cannot do that. Nice television program cannot do that transformation. Let's role play it again. Okay, look at this. Money. Come on, money. Yeah. Money. See? Nice programming. Television. Nice song service. Technology. Satellite. You see what is happening? Powerless to open the mind. Those things cannot work. They are important, but when it comes to salvation, they are limited. You need to resort back to the supernatural. So watch. Bible. Uh-huh. She's a great teacher. Bible. Prayer. The Holy Spirit. You see, the mind is open. Open. And now the pastor, the evangelist, has access to the mind. The Holy Spirit now has access to the mind and access to this. This is what you're after. Sin. which is supernatural. You want to bring this under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so now sin is exposed. The Holy Spirit begins to work and to transform and to bring conviction. And the Word of God begins to cut. And there's replacement with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Confirmation, conversion, transformation takes place. Is it clear?
Amen.
Clear?
Yep.
Turn to the person next to you and share what you have just learned a while ago. What you have just learned. Explain what you have just seen to each other. Explain it. Thank you. Okay, question. Anybody had any question of clarification? Now, if the person, when you bring the person to the prayer, if the person is not able to pray, you simply repeat the prayer and the person repeats after you. Okay, you say the prayer and the person repeats after you. Any question?
Does posture matter at all?
Beg pardon?
Does posture matter?
Posture, your body language.
Posture.
Posture when you pray, does it matter at all?
Posture.
Oh, yeah. Well, you. So, Because it's a prayer room, and the people, the visitors are coming in, it's an evangelistic campaign, and they're not really accustomed to the kneeling thing. So let them stand, okay? When you're doing a normal church service and divine service, it's all Adventist, you know, it's normal, yeah. But in evangelistic setting, you leave it open, you know, flexible, yeah. Flexible, yeah. So that once the visitors come in, your chairs in your prayer room will be in a circle, so the visitor comes in the middle, and all the intercessors around her. All right, and many times to pray, they all put their hands upon the person and the prayer is offered. Very powerful, very effective. Yes, anybody else? So one more time, let's anchor the principle here. Put your hand like this. The purpose of the prayer, everybody, I don't want you to miss it. I want to put it into your hands. So every time you see your hands, you remember that. Let's go. This is low receptivity. Let's say it together.
Low receptivity.
High receptivity. Again? Again?
High receptivity.
And so the purpose of the prayer is to give you what?
High receptivity.
When there is high receptivity, your rate of baptism increases because it is under the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are creating a new revolution for this union, for this conference. We are moving the conference from Ichabod back to Ebenezer. Amen? From Ichabod back to Ebenezer, and you are God's dream team. You are the new agent of change in this conference, where we need to take the church back from dependence upon man to dependence upon God, from dependence upon method to dependence upon the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you say?
Amen.
It's a new revolution. So I want you today, during the evening, I want you to do this assignment. This is your assignment. You cannot get a diploma unless you do this assignment today. All right? I want you to find three persons, and ask them the question. Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? What's the question?
Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
And after they respond to you to the desired outcome, I want you to read a verse of scripture or quote it from memory, because it may be dark, you may not have the Bible with you, but just quote an appropriate verse of scripture for the person, and then pray. First, ask God to forgive that person for his sins or her sins. Then ask God to strengthen the person's faith, and then present the particular need to God. Okay? The particular need to God. Now, when you're praying for people, you must pray soft and deliberate. Father, tonight, I present to you Mary. I pray, dear Lord, that you would forgive her for all of her sins. Cleanse her, wash her, make her a clean vessel in your hands. And now, Father, I pray that you would strengthen her faith to believe that you are able to do for her more than she can ever think or ask. And now, Father, I present her need for you, her need to you. Her need is for healing. I pray today, dear Father, you would stand beside her. Watch, hear my voice. You would stand beside her. Place your hands upon her and allow your healing power to flow through her body. Touch every cell, touch every tissue, touch every muscle, and heal her in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
very short prayer, very clear. You must pray precisely and be clear in your prayer and be short to the point. And then let the person repeat a prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer of thanksgiving, and you will see the impact. Tremendous transformation. You saw the testimony of the sister. She went out and practiced an immediate result. This is biblical. All that I'm teaching here is from the Bible. And this little manual, this we use this around the world for training intercessors. Everywhere we in Inter-America, in Haiti, I don't know if any of you know Haiti, but Haiti, we have 24 unions. Haiti is the largest union in our division. Haiti has 400,000 members. Haiti, 400,000 members. The churches are large. The people come to church on time for Sabbath school. If you want to see people go to church on time for Sabbath school, you go to Haiti. 9 o'clock in the morning, the churches are ram-packed. And listen to this. Haiti is the poorest country in our division, poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, but Haiti gives the most mission offering.
Wow.
It gives the most mission offering. And next year we're going to Haiti, the whole division, we're going to Haiti, and I'm going there in October. I'm going to train 100 global mission pioneers, so because we are going to plant 100 new churches in Haiti. And then we are going to have evangelists who are going to Haiti next year, and we're going to preach for 1 week. And at the end of the week, we are going to baptize 20,000 souls in Haiti. What is our secret in Inter-America? The intercessory. Don't tell me Canada is different from Inter-America. I'm not talking about the context. Yes, the Inter-America context is different, but the principle is the same. The principle of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe the Holy Spirit works in Canada? Do you think that people everywhere, all the people in Canada, do you think they have flesh?
Yeah.
Do they have blood?
Yeah.
Do they have problems?
Yeah.
People are the same everywhere. Amen?
Yeah.
Is the way so that anything that works, the principle that I've shared with you here today, it works everywhere. We just need to apply it. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Let's stand to pray. Tomorrow morning I'm going to meet with the pastors, and tomorrow we're going to talk about prayer and how to organize prayer conferences for evangelistic meetings. It's going to be very, very important for tomorrow. So tell your friends and let's be here in large numbers tomorrow. We thank you, Dr. Evangeline, for being here for us. Would you come and pray for us today?
I'm a daughter of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I just want to share a quick testimony. I worked for the Alberta Conference for 28 years, and I did so many prayer conferences. And I'm retired for 6 years, and I was tired and retired, and I was not ready for rehire. That means I was discouraged. But last week, I just got up and dusted off, and I said, God, now I'm ready. Where am I going? Send me wherever you want. And I was walking in the sidewalk here. A young man came up to me and he said, Sister Evange, we want you to come and there's a whole trailer full of young adults there, and we all were talking. We must get Sister Evangeline to come and do a prayer conference for us. And I said, my son, I cannot drive very far. My knee, I had a replacement. And he said, don't worry, we're going to fly you. I'm like, where am I going? I'm going to Fort McMurray to do some work among young adults.
Amen.
Isn't that praise to God? Anyway, let's pray. Oh God of heaven and earth.
Yes.
We thank you. We praise you. We worship you in the powerful name of Jesus. We thank you that you call us to walk alongside of you.
Amen.
So that we can guide and help those who are walking below, behind us and beside us and in front of us. And Lord, give us the love and the compassion for souls in our heart, that we may look at each other with the mind of Jesus, with the compassionate heart of Jesus, that we will make the effort, take the interest, and do whatever you tell us to do, and give us the wisdom and the courage to follow you in order to help others to get prepared to come to your kingdom. So we thank you and we praise you in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thanks for coming.